Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are now listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And in honor of today's episode, my question to you two is, what was your favorite toy growing up?
Legos.
What? Yeah. You had to go first.
Yours is Legos Steeler. Too?
Of course, and I guarantee
you. Well, mine is too.
Well, that's okay.
No, that's just like
everybody change your answer. Real quick, okay, start this over. Mine's Legos.
Okay, I'll start, guys. See, since I have editing power, I'll put mine first. I'll start Legos. What about you guys?
It's unfair. How good Legos are is really what's unfair.
Did y'all have Lego sets? Because back when I was a kid, back in my day, Lego sets were not even the craze. There wasn't many of those. You just had your own Legos. You had to use your own creativity.
That's not true. You just got a bunch of secondhand Legos and then had to figure them out.
Sorry we're not rich like your family.
Everyone had their base, like, box of Legos, and you don't know where they came from. I don't. I just had, like, just normal blocks, and then I had a couple sets. I had the Star Wars sets when they did the prequels. I got a couple of those. But then you had just your normal blocks that I don't know where they came from, but you had a bunch of them.
You used to buy just a huge set of regular blocks.
The big plastic one that's shaped like a Lego? There's a container that was shaped like a block,
And
it was just full of basic blocks. Yeah, those were awesome.
I was never a big Nerf guy. Did either of y'all do Nerfs?
Absolutely.
Like, you did, Kenny?
Yeah.
Nerf guns?
Yeah.
No, I had a Nerf football thingy that
was. I was way cooler as a kid than I am now, and so.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, it probably is. I couldn't stand having to stop play in order to go and pick up all the bullets and then reload just to continue playing. So that wasn't my kind of game. Another game I was all about, seriously, was when Tamagotchi and Gigapets started rolling out.
Yeah, those were really
addictive. You would. I never got into it.
I was all up in that and took good care of my creatures until I didn't care anymore, and then they would, you know, die from using the restroom too much.
I did really like McDonald's toys. Did you ever go get
McDonald's?
What does
that even mean? Like just the little gimmick toys and like Happy Meals?
Yeah, but when they did the Pokemon thing and they were giving you Pokeballs and they would have a Pokemon inside of them, like a little stuffed one, like that was awesome.
Well, every person has a history and every toy has a story. Welcome to episode 43, where we talk about our experiences with the retro video game Toy Story.
Overview.
Like, that wasn't even as bad as they sometimes are, but it hurt me more than usual. I don't know why.
Toy Story is a platforming game that was released in 1995 for the Genesis, the Super Nintendo, the Game Boy, and the PC. And it's kind of weird that it was released on the PC to me. I don't know why. It was published by Disney Interactive, and we have seen them on this podcast before with Lion King, and they made quite a few Disney games. But it was developed by a company called Traveler's Tales, which by name I don't recognize, but when I see their logo, I immediately remember all the games that they made. It's like a mouse that looks like a pirate or something. It's weird, but I remembered it as soon as I saw it. Unlike many games based off movies, and we've proven this on this podcast, but this game follows the movie pretty well in a fairly linear fashion. Like, if you were to watch the movie and then go play the game, you would recognize each stage. And it's not, like, the longest game, but at the same time, they do hit most of the main scenes from the movie, at least the most memorable ones. There aren't many tracks from the movie that I was able to recognize. They composed a soundtrack for the game. But in the Genesis version, you've got a friend and me, I think, on the credits. That may be the only time I heard it.
And you just mentioned the Genesis version. So like some of these early games, they decided to release it on multiple systems. And so I'm assuming that Nolan, you played it on Genesis this week?
Yes, yes, I played Genesis.
And Kenny?
Super Nintendo.
Same with me, Super Nintendo. Okay.
Is that always how it's going to be?
Always.
It is.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
Super, we're all three playing with the systems that we played as kids.
So. That's fair. So you have like an original soundtrack, which isn't like terrible. I'd like to hear more tracks from the game, but I understand that's probably a difficult thing to do. You have 17 levels on the Super Nintendo and 18 on the Genesis, which that is just an extra level where you ride RC back to the house or something. It's not a mini game. It's another stage, but I don't know why they chose to add that to the Genesis one. But according to Game Rankings, they have rated the versions, actually, which one's best to worst. And the Genesis one came in first with the SNES one behind that. So we'll see if that's true when we talk about it. But that's Toy Story.
What are your connections to Toy Story, movie-wise? I mean, I know we can all we've all seen it. I assume we've all seen it. But like, was this something that has a lot of nostalgia connected to you? Like, how big of a fan were you when it came out? I mean, I think Nolan was probably more like the perfect age for the craze. You know, when the Toy Story movie came out. But you can speak for yourself. What was your connection to Toy Story?
Okay, so is Toy Story the first Pixar movie? Is that confirmed?
Did we confirm that? Fact checker?
Let me confirm.
Real quick, someone confirm? Could we get a confirmation from our confirmer?
Okay, so it was an early Pixar movie, if not the first. And I loved Toy Story. I went to see it in the theaters, and I had the movie in the big old Disney plastic case that the movies used to come in. And I watched it nonstop. Also, I had a Buzz Lightyear action figure that was like movie quality. I'm talking, it had the wings that came out and then the buttons that you could press. It wasn't just like a little figurine.
When you left the room, would he come to life?
He would come to life when you leave, and then when you come back, he's where you left him. Like, he's really perfect.
Yeah.
Also had a Woody toy. He wasn't as cool because it's like, what, he's got a drawstring that you pull and he says a stupid catchphrase, but I had the toys, and I pretended like they came to life, of course. And, okay, so the game I talked about last week, I played an N64 Toy Story. I think that's Toy Story 2, if I went and looked it up. And I wasn't so sure about this one, but as soon as I saw the cover art, I remembered everything about this game. I played it all the time because I would go rent it at the video store. And
You're a big game renter.
I am. It's always that. I never bought them, or my parents never bought them. I just rented them. They probably would have saved a lot of money if we would have just bought it.
If you're going to play it enough, but like one like this, I don't know if that's like a multiple rentals kind of situation.
No. Yeah. You have significant connection to Toy Story. Kenny, was it something that you watched much when you were younger?
Yes. You know, I'm a little older than Nolan, and so I'm more like, I don't know, Lion King, when I think, like, really nostalgia, like, great movies that, like, messed me up as a kid, you know?
Yeah, so pre-Pixar.
Yeah, and I mean, Toy Story really was a great movie, revolutionary. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't, like, a fan to, like, play the games or have the toys or any of those kind of things.
Yeah, I so wanted to have that connection to Toy Story. I saw it when I was younger, but I don't think I was at the right age. Like, I think the perfect age was those who were around Andy's age because they could travel through with him. And I remember when the final movie came out, how excited and how like just nostalgia driven all of these guys and girls that were just a little bit younger than me were, and how they went to this movie with this and had this emotional connection, which I'm all about. I don't down that by any means. I think that's awesome. But I think for me, it was just a little out of my time. Although I loved this movie, and I think it's still one of the best Pixar movies to date. I didn't have as much of a nostalgia bomb as I did when we played Lion King.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, I can't give people a hard time about getting the feels in the third movie. Like, I'm pretty sure it made me cry just because it delivered the goods.
It's such a good trilogy. Like, you can kind of guess that they would fall off because the original is always best. But all three movies were so good.
With movies, that's true. Not so much with video games, we've learned.
No, Kenny, we know you've
I'm
got
talking
it.
About
got
movies. And the third one, though, was so good. And
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people loved that third one. Especially those who grew up with it.
Well, we know the movie Toy Story is quality. What about the game? Let's talk about that in gameplay.
Gameplay.
So, Nolan, you said there are 17 stages in the Super Nintendo version. There's 18 in the one that you played?
Yes, that's right.
All right, so the majority of these stages are the same. I'm not just talking about between systems. I'm talking about in the game itself. You've got you go from left to right for the most part, and you avoid enemies, and well, enemies being other toys or like toy airplanes and toy trains, and then even the toys that are angry with you for doing something to
I'm gonna say,
Buzz.
When you're in Sid's room, you can classify those toys as enemies.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are scary.
Terrifying enemies.
You're definitely doing that. You are Woody, by the way. And so you're going through these stages, which are predominantly the same, until you come to these. There are a few stages that are entirely unique and change the gameplay significantly, almost jarringly. And we'll talk about a lot of them, really. It wouldn't be half of them. The majority of them are left to right, but then you've got these few that are... that are so strange.
As a percentage of the game, though, I felt like there was lots of really unique levels, and I felt like even the levels that are the same, that they sort of changed the mechanics of what you were doing in pretty tangible ways, where I didn't feel like any two levels were quote-unquote the same.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I think there were a few that had me feeling very redundant, but for the most part, there was... originality with each and every stage. You're Woody, which is a bummer because who wants to be Woody when you could be Buzz Lightyear, you know? And Woody's weapon is the weapon, that's in quotation marks, by the way, the drawstring that's on his back, which if you have to make a video game for this movie and you need Woody to have something to attack with, I think they did make a good choice with his drawstring because that's a fun idea.
They could have done stupid and like given him a gun or something and it's like, what?
Right.
But yeah, that makes sense. And you can't really like kill enemies with it. You just lasso them and tie them up momentarily.
Right, which doesn't entirely make sense because of the drawstring still attached to his back, but we're playing a video game of talking toys.
Unplayable. It's not realistic.
The drawstring has one other function other than hitting enemies, and you can use your string to swing from hook to hook in certain stages. A la Earthworm Jim. Anyone? Anyone have any feelings towards Earthworm?
I did not.
I've got lots of feelings
towards
Earthworm Jim. I didn't think of it at all.
You know what I mean, though. It's attached to you. That's the exact same function, and it felt the exact same. Impossible to master.
It's not that bad. I mean, you only have to use it a couple times.
No, you have to use that drawstring, especially in the late stages when you're trying to like race Buzz or when you're trying to like do all these other things. You have to use those a lot.
Yeah, I didn't notice it being that annoying, or like Earthworm Jim. I think I put that out of my mind. So the stages are the same for the Super Nintendo for the most part.
Yeah, my understanding is outside of the one additional stage. That the games are almost exactly equivalent. Obviously different look on different consoles, but I'm pretty sure the playthrough is almost identical.
So you had the race track with RC where you're like hitting Buzz?
Yeah,
and you have to pick up the battery packs.
Let's talk about a few of those unique levels, because those, to me, really are what defined some of this gameplay. Like, there was not only the racetrack, which was a like top-down view...
almost mode 7, but it didn't like rotate that way. It just
I don't think it
different.
Used mode 7, but it kind of emulated that.
Yeah.
But I'm not certain. I didn't read up about it. And then you have your kind of left to right side scrolling platformer feel that was a lot of them. You had some like mini bosses that you had to fight against. You had to fight Buzz a couple different times in two different fights that were almost their own levels, really. I guess you could mm-hmm. consider them like a boss fight after a level, but they seem like kind of their own level. You had the you had to navigate through the claw machine to get into the claw machine, and then you had to do the little game where you keep yourself safe and keep Buzz in the claw machine.
Well, we've got to tell you can't just pass over that quickly, because that stage, like, that's entirely different than every single thing else in the game.
It's kind of weird because you don't know your objective at first.
I was talking about where the claw was grabbing you. I wasn't talking about finding the little guys. Yes, the weirdest one is the one that looks like you're in Doom.
Oh,
yeah, it's
and you're
Doom.
Running around looking for the aliens. It's like an alien Easter egg hunt, but kind of in a Doom-style map, like with fake 3D.
It doesn't warn you that that's about to happen.
Nope, you like just jump into it.
And I was so confused, I had uh-huh. no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it's wild.
It completely looks like Doom. Like, now that you said that, you just walk around with the walls, just, like, you when you first look at the stage, it doesn't look like anything until you start moving, and then you notice, okay, there's hallways. But I found it really hard to find all the dudes. I was on that stage for a while.
Okay, so what was your favorite stage, and what was your least favorite stage? I'd love to know that.
Okay, easily my favorite stage is when you are at the pizza house.
Okay, so all of ours are going to be the same?
You have the big gulp over you, just like the movie, and you have to stop and hide in it when humans come by. Like,
that was really clever.
It makes you feel like you're in the movie. That's
absolutely
such a good stage.
It probably hit the vibe of the movie best.
Yeah. Yes, and Buzz is following you in a hamburger box, yeah. and you can't uh-huh. let him hit you.
Yeah, it's so good.
And that stage is also hilarious to me because you have to avoid food
burgers.
That's randomly falling,
just falling
from the
off
tables.
The table. Yeah. Like, it's
no,
take
no
you
one's
out.
Hitting it. Nothing's happening.
No, it just falls.
Yeah, so that one's great. Least favorite might be the one we were just talking about, where you have to rescue the aliens, just because it was kind of boring to me. You didn't really have much there except just collect them and put them in the thing, and then it wasn't very pretty looking either.
It definitely graphically felt different than the rest of the game.
Yeah, my least favorite was the roller bob stage. It's that you're trying to escape uh-huh.
Sid's
room, Sid's
house, yeah,
and it was just absolutely annoying to me. Like, you had to dodge so many things,
the dog
all
chasing
at once.
You,
yeah, the dog, the bombs, the I mean, just so many things. And this game, let me just say, has ridiculous hitboxes, and so it just yeah. leads it to be unbelievably frustrating. There are so many things coming at you.
Yeah.
If I didn't have save states, I would have I would have been just even more angry trying to play this game.
It's a pretty annoying one for sure. Yeah, let me start with my least favorites, because I had two. I think it was just like the second stage of the game, but the stage where you had to get all the toys into the toy box
with the little balloon.
With the little balloon really yeah. bothered me, just because the first time, couple of times I played that, I kept failing the clock just because the little robot that you had to wait to come over to get in the toy box.
Yeah.
Like, I would miss the timing on it because I would get bored waiting for him to come over and then, like, move my character. And then he moved faster than the others, so he'd show up and I'd jump and have missed the balloon. And then I'd always hit him when he was coming back the other direction and pop him up. And I just, it wasn't a hard level. I just struggled with it because I'm terrible, I guess. And it was frustrating for me. The one I actually hated the most was the very near the end of the game, the Buzz Lightyear flying level.
The last one.
Yeah, it's like the mechanics yeah. of that are fun. But the idea of it really bothered me. I couldn't get over the whole, like, the whole thing with Buzz Lightyear is he's supposed to be, like, falling with style. Like, he agrees finally that he can't fly, but that's okay. Like, part of that, like, humility that he's getting is a part of the story of them both growing and becoming friends and understanding how the world works. And then in this, like, he clearly just flies. Like, a rocket boosts him up, but it's not like you're, like, slowly lowering yourself. You know, if you'd started way up in the sky and were dodging, like, birds and clouds and then finally came above the... No, like, you're just flying. You're at road level and you're going up and you're going down and you don't have nearly enough speed to keep that up. And it was a little, like, predictable. I don't know. That one, the idea of that one just really, really bothered me.
Yeah, so unbelievable when we're playing a game about talking toys.
Well, it's... I don't know.
just because it doesn't stay true to the...
Yeah, like, I think because that's an important point, it bothered me. I think if it was just... Like, there's other gimmicky stuff that happens, you know, that's not even necessarily in the movie or whatever, that didn't stand out and annoy me. The whole, like, fighting with the tire scene, which, by the way, that pun was great.
You gotta fight till he's tired out.
It was great.
It's not that good.
But, like, there were annoying things like
that.
Let
me just say, though, that flying thing would be hard to replicate. What happens in the movie is Buzz is trying to get Buzz and Woody back to the van, you know, because he jumps off of so many things and just makes everything work. And he even believes for a second, I think, that he's flying in the movie, if I remember correctly. And so that didn't bother me at all. What bothered me was just, for me, as a kid, I remember playing this game, and it was... incredibly frustrating to me as a kid trying to beat these stages, even from stage one. And as an adult here many years later, it's still incredibly frustrating to me. I struggled through the first game when I was younger. I played it over and over and over again, and I did the same here. You don't have much life to begin with. Woody is a weak, fragile character, which I approve of because, yeah, I mean, he is. But this game, unless you get checkpoints, which are not there, there's not a lot in some stages, and then there's tons in other stages. If you fail, you're going to be sent back to the beginning of the stage, and some of these stages are not short. They're not brief. Some are very brief. Some are very long. And so the only thing that allowed me to beat the game this week were save states. Without save states, I would have been without hope.
Yeah, I had to use them too. I mean, I actually got farther than I did as a kid. I remember being stuck on Sid's house, probably the one you were talking about, Dustin, where you're having to escape, because the stages past that I did not remember. And so, yeah, safe states definitely helped me here.
Aged. So I imagine that we'd all agree that you can point out some things that have aged in this game. And for me, what I noticed most in regards to the agedness of Toy Story is just in the difficulty level. We've already discussed in previous episodes how just games were harder back then, and that's fine. This is no exception. But the levels for me didn't feel weighted appropriately. So like, think about that, because I want to see if you guys noticed that, or if at least in recollection you would agree to that. Because most often in games, you've got this just increasingly difficult game as you progress in the story. In Toy Story, I felt like I would have two hard stages, an easy stage, a death welcomes you, you'll never beat this stage, two easy stages, and then a really hard stage. And it would be just like that. And that's, I believe, just unacceptable in today's standard of gaming. Did you guys feel that at all? Or, I mean, y'all are acting like this game wasn't as difficult for you as it was for me.
It definitely wasn't like an easy game, but I've had weeks that I've been super frustrated with that. And that was less the case this week. It definitely wasn't like we just walked through it and you're somehow bad. Like, it was a tough game.
I think that, okay, so you're talking about the progression and how the difficulty doesn't line up to typical game progression. And I think that might be because they made the game in line with the movie progression, like the scenes
you, if you had decided to follow a natural, like, increasing difficulty progression, you could have done that.
Well,
and still follow.
Yeah,
the script
I was about to say
easily.
That Lion King did that, and they did it pretty well. I didn't feel that in Lion King, but I did feel that in Toy Story. I agree, Dustin. But I think it's because they didn't say, "Okay, let's make the game harder as we go." They laid out the movie on a table and the different things that happen, and they went in order, and then some of the levels just ended up being harder than others. Like, I mean, the escape from Sid's house makes sense being one of the hardest to me.
Absolutely.
Because that's an intense part of the movie. But if that was intentional or not, I don't know. I think I'd be giving them too much credit if I said they did that on purpose. So I don't know if it was intentional. I think it may have just been them saying, okay, let's make it like the movie, and then they didn't think about game progression. Like,
well, and some of it's the jumping and, like, level variety, too. Again, the just randomness of, like, okay, here's a boss, okay, now you're racing. Okay, now you're platforming, but you're doing it on the back of a dinosaur, you know, like, okay, now it's a level, but it's about beating a timer instead of getting through the stuff. Like, because each level was so different, and I know there was some similarity in, you know, some of the sort of normal levels, but because there was such a variety of things you were trying to accomplish and ways you were trying to do it, I feel like you're just naturally going to feel like difficulty ebbs and flows.
I think that the game has aged pretty much like The Lion King has to me. Now, I won't say it's not better than The Lion King. I think The Lion King video game is very well made. But when I was playing this game, I felt the same. I felt that nostalgia, like, really hard in this case, because I think I played this game more than I did Lion King. But so the nostalgia was there for me, and the difficulty was there, but having played it as a kid, and then I was an adult, I'm better at video games, and so I was able to get farther naturally. But the thing that feels most aged to me is the mechanics. Like, you were talking about the hitboxes being really weird in this game, and that's so true. Like, and I know it was probably hard on those older systems to make hitboxes look or act the way they look on the screen, but it just makes it very frustrating to have this game with so many projectiles on the screen at times, and then having to jump over things and stun things to jump over to get hit anyways sometimes when you feel like you shouldn't have. And so that's what I felt most in the age, is just the way the mechanics behaved.
I would agree. I think the graphics are great. I think the music is okay. You don't have some of the iconic tracks, which was a letdown, because we're comparing this to Lion King, but I think that's fair. In Lion King, you did have those iconic tracks. Every song was from the movie, for the most part. In Toy Story, the game, you have just a few voice lines, and they're repetitive, but they're also spot on. So I'm guessing they either just grab those, you know, audio bits from the recording or whatever. The best thing, in my opinion, in regards to this game, is that they included everything from the movie. Like, you don't miss much of anything. And so if you love this movie, you're going to see so many, if not all of the things that you loved. Just as Nolan said, they like storyboarded and then tried to do the movie exactly, which caused some of the other flaws in the game. But what they did do well in is that every single character that you loved from the movie is going to be seen in the game.
Yeah.
Some of the cool scenes from the movie, most of the cool scenes are going to be implemented in the game. So I think that worked well, but in trying to stay so strict to that, I think that they limited themselves in some other ways that are some negative things that you'll notice in playing this game.
Yeah, I think you guys summed it up pretty well. To me, it was the kind of game you could pick up and play and it not be like prohibitively difficult mechanically or anything. You know, what you sort of expect to happen is at least somewhat what happens. But I just felt like overall there were some clunky things about this game. I don't even know if that's the right word. From like design choices to the level disparity, both difficulty and style. And like there were moments that it really, really felt Toy Story-ish to me. And then there were moments that I felt like they just were forced into having to find a way to make a game. And so they just stuck something that fit. So, I don't know. It was just, it felt a little mishmash for me, which takes away from the ability to pick it up and just say, hey, this is a great game. You know, it's I think the age to me is shown in the like design choices is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Sure. Which all that together combined will lead the three of us to share our opinions on whether or not this game receives our vote for New Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
So as a part of this podcast, at the end of every single episode, we reflect on everything that we've said and all of our time spent playing the game this past week. And we each individually either, we give out or we retain our vote for another day, another game. So when it comes to Toy Story, we'll start with you, Nolan, I think would be best. Do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status or no?
So I am going to, well, let me say it last. I'll just say that I think that Disney Interactive Studios made really good games. And if you're going, and we've said this in talking about The Age, if you're going to make a movie, I like that they storyboarded it just like you would watch the movie, and then they tried to do that. I like that because you're making a game based off a movie. It should feel like the movie, in my opinion. Like, it shouldn't be just random stages with crappy pixels that look like the characters. And it's like, hey, look, we did the movie. I think that Lion King did an awesome job. And I actually think that they did a pretty good job with Toy Story as well. Yes, the mechanics are a little wonky, and that's just because it's old. But I still, it's still a platformer. And at its core, I think someone could enjoy playing the game. Because there's a variety of stages, because you're going to see the characters that you like. And so, yeah, it's for people who like the movie. But I'm going to give it my New Game Plus, and that may be because I have a lot of nostalgia tied to this. But I really do think that Disney Interactive makes good games.
If you're right on assessing that it's a great game for people who like the movie, then that was actually absolutely the correct thing to say, because everybody likes this movie. I feel like it's kind of one of those, you know. But I landed in a different place than you on my overarching opinion. I can't give this one New Game Plus. I think maybe I just came in with too high an expectation. Like, there are fun things about it, and I did enjoy myself part of the time this week. But then there were just some weird enough things that I kind of went, eh, or why, or that were frustrating, that overall I was not expecting in a game out of Disney stuff, because generally even their older stuff really is just so smooth. And so it may be unfair for my brain to compare it to Lion King and to Aladdin and to some of those other titles in terms of like the gameplay itself. And it clearly was trying to be a different kind of game than those, and probably catering, at least in tone, to a little bit of a younger audience, if not in difficulty. But I don't know, just the sort of wonkiness of the game to me didn't really settle well with me. And so though it wouldn't be a terrible game to play, it's not one I would tell people to go out of their way and try and pick up. And so I'm going to say no New Game Plus.
Interesting. Nolan, yes, Kenny, no. Through our discussion so far, I've reserved a lot of my true feelings about this game until this segment of the podcast. I wanted us to be able to talk objectively about the game before I presented my subjective opinion. And so here's my subjective opinion. I really, really, really dislike this game.
Wow. I didn't know which way you're going to go there, actually, with three reallys.
I enjoy the movie. I like the characters, and I have some bit of nostalgia for the story, though not as much as some, as we've already talked about. But this game, I feel, is a horrible representation of the Toy Story that so many people love. It includes the characters, and yes, it includes the scenes and the situations, which I approve of a lot of those decisions. And yes, it even does well on including even little details that nod to the movie. So there's a lot of things that I appreciate. I love that in between the stages, there's text, which is that I don't love that, but I love that to set up the next stage, you've got the Etch-n-Sketch.
Yeah.
And that has the words on it that tells you, you know, how to prepare for this next stage. I love some of those details, but all of that does nothing to combat the poor mechanics, the weird direction choices, and for me, the unbelievable difficulty of this game. So all of that being said, I definitely do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
You did a good job of being objective, because I didn't expect that. I mean, I kind of expected you to dislike it, but not that heavily.
It's crazy because I like so many of the decisions that they make, and I love the feel. The graphics, I think, for that time are just impeccable.
Well, good and unique, you know, not just like cookie cutter, and matches the feel of the movie really well. You know what I mean? They translated that well, considering the limitations of the consoles.
And so that's why I'm frustrated, because all of that I approve of and even enjoy to some degree, but I cannot get over some of those things that I mentioned, especially the difficult. I wanted to play this game this week with a smile on my face, and that smile quickly faded, and then I just you know, grudgingly pushed myself through this entire game. And so just because of the mechanics and the difficulty and some of those decisions to try things out and make unique stages that I don't think worked, I can't do it.
That's fair. Does not get our new game plus.
We had a few people that have written us in this week, submitting their commentary for Disney's Toy Story, the video game. Gio said, if you think this game is good, you need to play Donkey Kong Country for the Super Nintendo. It did 3D graphics 2 years before this game was released, and it's so much better. That's all he said. Now, neither have 3D graphics, I don't think, but we know what he means.
Yeah, and he's right, like... I didn't realize it came out 2 years before, but when you consider the overall look, okay, so the backdrop in this game is very good and not pixelated. It looks like his room. It has the blue wall with the clouds on it and stuff. And so when I look at everything all together, I want to say it's just different games. It's just different styles, but I see where he's going.
I can see where you could get the comparison from though, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with you completely, Nolan. I think they're different games. Yeah. And that being said, I think Donkey Kong Country was just ahead of its time in graphics.
True.
Like those graphics are stellar compared to almost every single other Super Nintendo game. So
everybody had to catch up. Everybody had to get there.
Yeah, but I think Toy Story did well for what it was going for and the move and the source material. Dale said, I don't remember the difficulty of this game being quite so ridiculous, but looking it up, the Super Nintendo version crops the sides down compared to Genesis version, which I had, and that might be part of the problem. It was probably designed with the wider playing field in mind, and so I guess it's also possible that I was just extremely patient with my video games as a child. So that's interesting, because some of my frustrations, especially in that Roller Bob stage, was that I did not have enough time to react to the things that were being thrown at me. But if I had more of a view, maybe that would have changed something.
Absolutely, I think that's valid.
Apparently, the Genesis had fewer colors, and so this NES having higher quality. I think it says 256 here, made it have a lower horizontal screen resolution, even though they had more colors, but the Genesis was a little wider, maybe a little more pixelated.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
and I do think perspective of playing games as an adult versus kid is different, because like we've been spoiled by modern games and by a ton of games, and our time I think is even probably more valuable to us now. I think I was probably more patient with games as a kid than I am now to some degree also.
Oh, definitely, me too. Yeah.
Finally, Andrew wrote us and said, oh man, when you guys said you were playing Toy Story this week, I got so excited because I remember spending a lot of my very, very young childhood playing Toy Story the game. However, I thought wrong because as I know now, the game that I always played as a kid was Toy Story 2, the third person platformer.
Yeah.
And that is a much better game than this one. I did have this game on Game Boy when I was younger, but this week I played the Genesis version. This game just feels so average to me. The platforming is nothing great, and sometimes I thought I could jump on things when I couldn't, and vice versa. The music gets kind of annoying after a while, and there aren't any remarkable mechanics outside of the hook swing move, like in Earthworm Jim.
Okay.
This was incredibly difficult for me to use, by the way.
That's where you got it from.
Quit rubbing it in.
I already thought that. I will say that this game does look pretty good, in my opinion. The colors show really well on the Genesis version. It came out before I was born, so when I compare retro game graphics, I always compare them to games I can remember from being really young. I didn't finish the whole game, so I can't give it a full score, but I think there are definitely better games out there, like the second Toy Story.
I think that's the one I played, the third-person platformer one, which was really fun. I don't know if I'd say it's better than this one. It's probably just, I mean, I had fun with it, but I wonder if he played it on the N64. If so, that's it.
Is it that time? I think it's that time.
It is that time. It is. We are now going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. Before we do, I mean, there's so much that's happened in gaming news this week, and we don't have time to talk about it on our podcast because that's not what our podcast is all about. But outside of Pokemon Go being released, which we'll reserve that for a different day, what do you guys think about the new Nintendo Entertainment System that's releasing at the end of this year?
I think it makes my hands look like giants.
And you just hold it in your palm. I think it's cool. So we play emulators, right? Everybody, you could just play a game right now if you want to on your laptop or whatever. You don't even have to have a stellar PC. So, okay, they're late to the party, but not really. I think it's cool that you can physically have it again. Those of us who their cruel father sold their systems in a garage sale without asking,
I'd be mad.
Get to have the physical console again and the physical cartridge, right? I'm assuming.
No, I think it's just
that's the severe limitations.
Yeah.
It's loaded onto it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's just those 30 games and nothing else.
And there will never be more than 30?
No. Well, I don't know if they'll add other stuff, but it's not cartridges. It's only going to be digital.
Well, then I take that bet completely because that's part of the fun, having physical things.
I agree.
Is just having the copies. So, never mind. I mean, it's cool, but it's cool that Nintendo's acknowledging,
like you want to play these games.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's hard to get.
Cause a lot of companies now are like, we're not doing backwards compatibility. We're going to keep going forward and get new. And I can respect that, but I also get really upset when those companies are like just completely writing off people that enjoy classic games. So good on Nintendo.
I think the whole Abandonware thing is definitely annoying. Like, and that's less so, you know, with emulatable old console games and whatnot, but the idea of things being made and never being able to be appreciated in the future is annoying. So I definitely like the idea of them going back and giving a taste to some of the classics to people.
And for $60 straight plug into HDMI, I think and a controller and a second controller for $10, like I think that's a really cool thing. Great games, you know, tons of the Marios, Super Marios, Final Fantasy, Pac-Man. So you've got a lot of crucial early games. Emulated games never seem to work as well as, you know, the original cartridges. So I'm interested to see how those kind of translate. But nevertheless, it's going to be fun. I'm glad they're doing it, and maybe we can use it to play some of our future retro games that we are that come up on our list. And maybe even one of those games will be selected this week. We don't have the system yet, but we'll find a way to make it work. I'm clicking the randomizer now.
Okay, here's my hope. Even though you glossed over the whole Pokemon Go phenomenon, and it's just been insane. Like, what, gamers? You're all crazy. I hope that whatever game comes up from this randomizer is something that I can find a reason to go outside and play.
All right, and our game of the week is Pokemon Go.
You got jokes.
Our game of the week is a 1992 action platform video game for the Game Boy, specifically for the Game Boy, which I think might be our first.
Which means, sadly, theoretically, I could go outside and play it.
This video game is known as Kirby's Dream Land.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I have this game.
On Game Boy?
On Game Boy. Playing it on my SP this week.
Do you know how much fun this was playing as a kid?
It's an incredible handheld game.
Do you know this is one of those games that I played on long car trips, and I had to have that extender lamp that came out over your Game Boy so
when
you could actually
play dark.
It?
Yep.
We'll talk about all this next week. We'd love for you to join us as we talk next week about Kirby's Dream Land. In the meantime, find us online, social media, Facebook and Twitter. Follow us there, NGP Podcast. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider out there. Make sure you subscribe so you can be the first one to listen. And hey, if you have a moment, would you go and give us a rating on that provider? That always helps with visibility, helps other people find out our podcast. We're quickly coming up on 50, on our 50th episode, which is going to be a mile marker in the life of New Game Plus. We'd love for you and many others to be a part of that. We're looking forward to playing Kirby's Dream Land next week. Until then, I'm Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, I'm the dog, the Slinky Dog.
I'm Sid.
Yeah, you are.
You're
and
Sid.
This has been New Game Plus.
Bye, guys.
And this Let me try it again. And this has been New Game Plus.
Leave all that in.